So take your Bible, please, and open to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, is where we are this morning. The song, Blessed Assurance, is a perfect fit with our sermon title and text and what the Spirit of God is teaching us in this particular passage of Scripture. I want to start by talking about questions. Some questions in life, of course, are a lot easier to answer than others. We often ask each other, how are you? How was your day? Did you see what North Dakota State did on the football field yesterday? Is there any rain coming? How was the harvest? Did you see that price of gasoline already? Those are casual questions that we are asked and that we ask others that are pretty easy to answer, really, without too much thought. Other questions, though, are much harder to answer. Questions like, why was our ambassador in Libya killed last week? Why did a man go into a crowded movie theater and murder a bunch of people in July? Why would a country like ours roll up so much debt that it's going to bankrupt our country in a few years? How can a tiny mosquito cause so much serious illness and death in our country and even in our own county? Those questions are pretty hard to answer. Some theological questions are pretty difficult to answer as well. Like, why does God allow evil to exist? Why didn't God prevent that school bus from getting in that serious accident? Why didn't God stop a student with a gun on campus shooting other students? Why would God choose someone like me to give salvation to? Why would Jesus die for somebody like me? Those are pretty tough questions that go through our mind, and sometimes we have to be satisfied with the answer, I don't know. I just don't know. Some of the things of God are too wonderful for us to understand and to contemplate. But sometimes an unbeliever will ask us an exceedingly difficult question when we are talking to them about the things of the Lord, and really they want an answer. They may ask us the question, how do you know that you're saved? I mean, how do you really know? I mean, isn't it a big surprise at the end whether you are saved or not? Do you really know for sure if you're saved or not? And in the shock of that moment, we probably ask ourselves, do I really know if I'm saved or not? Can I really know if I'm going to heaven or not? How do I know for sure? Is there any evidence that I can point to direct this person? Yeah, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Here's the evidence. Well, answering that question can leave both us and the person asking quite shaken, because too many times we say, well, I just hope so. But fortunately, Peter leaves us to the place where we can know that you can be certain of your salvation. Look at verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make your call and election sure or certain. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, as long as it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Peter says in this section, you can be certain of your salvation. You can be absolutely certain. He starts out with the word therefore in verse 10. Therefore. And when you see the word therefore, you ask yourself, what is it there for? And we go back to the preceding section within the context of verse 8 and 9. He says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacked these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, because of these things, we are to make our call and election certain, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. When you read those verses over and over, you start noticing that he keeps referring to these things. These things. And we have to understand that he is telling us that if you have these things in verse 8, or if you lack these things in verse 9, he is kind of doing a play on words. But we are to be more diligent, even more diligent, to make our calling and election sure. So without contributing anything to our salvation, the acid test of the genuineness of our faith is that either we make costly life changes on the basis of our faith, or we treat sin and judgment as irrelevant to a Christian life. We strive to add things to our faith. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago in verse 5. Also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And add to your virtue knowledge, and add to your knowledge self-control, and add to your self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. We are to strive to add those things to our faith abundantly, or we will be unfruitful, we will be barren, we'll be short-sighted, blind, and forget that we have been cleansed from our previous sins, and ultimately we will be uncertain whether we are saved or not. We'll be uncertain if we forget those things. If we are no longer adding those things to our faith, we will become uncertain. So Peter uses these two words to express the fullness of our salvation. Therefore, brethren, be all diligent to make your call and election certain. To know that you're saved. Be diligent to know that you're saved. Even more diligent than you were to add all of these attributes to your faith. Being all the more diligent. Make certain of your call and your election. Our call is anchored in Jesus' call to follow Him. Come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of spirit, and you will find rest for your soul. He says in Matthew 11:28. God effects a saving call through the glory and majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. We already saw that in verse 3, as His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and His virtue. We see His glory, we see His virtue, and He calls us to Himself, and we respond to that calling. Scripture tells us over and over that God has called us to Himself. And in spite of the fact that many don't believe it, sorry, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not, the Scripture says it, so it is most certainly true. In Romans 8:29, Paul says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." That means the firstborn means the preeminent one. "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. And those whom He called, these He also justified. And those He justified, these He also glorified." He has called us to Himself through His glory and through His virtue. We saw in 1 Peter when we were studying that, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him," Jesus, "who called you out of the darkness and into His marvelous light." We saw in chapter 5, verse 10 in 1 Peter, "May the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." We are most certainly called of God into a salvation relationship with Him. Not only our calling, but our election is God's sovereign choice of us in Christ before the creation of the world. And again, many people don't believe that we are elected. We've got an election season coming up. We know what elections are all about. God has elected us. The Scripture affirms that. And many people still don't believe it. And it's no different than saying, I don't believe the sun is very hot. Now, you can believe that all you want, but it doesn't make it not so. The sun is very hot, and that's the truth of it. God has elected us because the Scripture says that. Ephesians 1:4, just as He chose us or elected us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without blame before Him in love. We saw in 1 Peter 1:2 that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God and the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Romans 8:33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So God chose and elected us to be His children, that we would be born again, have a new life, newly created, even before the creation of the world. Therefore, what Peter is saying in verse 10, therefore, because of all these things are true, make your calling and election certain or sure. And we can be sure of our salvation when we are diligent in adding to our faith virtue, and adding to our faith knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. When we are adding these things to our faith, adding these things to our faith, when we are diligent in our Christian life to add these things, what we are doing is we are giving the evidence that our calling and election is certain. And we know we're saved because we are growing in our faith. We are growing in our perseverance. We are adding brotherly love to our faith, knowledge and virtue, self-control, all of these things. Not as a way to get saved, but because we are already saved. I am diligent in adding these things. And when I do that, I can know that I'm in the faith. If we do nothing, as LaRue Getz said last week, you can't just do nothing, he says. That was good. That was good. When we do nothing, we have no assurance that we're genuinely saved. We don't have any assurance that we're going to heaven. If we're not adding these things to our faith, if we're doing nothing, then we don't know. We really don't know if we're going to heaven or not. Now, many may think that all of this is unnecessary because people know if they're saved or not. And we might think, well, how could someone not know if they're saved or not? Why would they think they're saved when they're really not? How could you not know? Well, apparently Jesus says that's a huge problem, that many people think they're saved, but they're really not. They're really not. And He says these terrifying words in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus says, not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of My Father in heaven. Many will say to Me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name and cast out demons in Your name and done many wonders in Your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness. One of the most terrifying verses in the Bible. I wish it wasn't there. I really do. But it is there. We've got to take it serious. The folks think they're saved. These are folks that are actually being quite religious, notice. Haven't we prophesied in Your name? Didn't we cast out demons in Your name and done many wonders in Your name? Yeah, they're religious folk who think that they're saved. And Jesus, I don't know you. I don't know you. And that gives us the idea and the truth that there will be some significant surprises for a lot of people who come to church when they're supposed to and do the things that they're supposed to, and it looks all good from the outside, but they're not really saved, even though they think that they are. So Peter says, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and your election certain. These folks, and Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7, they're shocked. They're shocked to find out that they are truly not saved. And sadly, at that point, there's no time to remedy the situation. That's why Peter is saying, now is the time to make sure, to be diligent, to make your calling and election certain, so there are no surprises when you stand before the Lord. And you will, and I will. We all will stand before the Lord one day. We all know that that's true. So this adding these things to our faith, it defines our responsibility and our response, namely to the fact that we have been cleansed from our old sins. Verse 9, that we have, if we don't add those things to our faith, we have forgotten that we are cleansed from our old sins. And that's really where the point of this whole thing is, that we forget that we've been cleansed from our sin. We kind of go on our life day by day forgetting. I am in a right relationship with God because Jesus died on the cross for me. My sins are forgiven. How many times throughout the week does that come into your mind as you go about your busy routine? I'm forgiven. I'm right with God. My sins have been cleansed. And now I respond to that joyous truth. I am responding. I have a responsibility, because my sins have been forgiven, to grow in my faith, to add these things to my faith. And when I add these things to my faith, I become certain. That is the evidence. That is the evidence that my calling and election are certain. And that I'm not going to hear the moment I stand before the Lord Jesus, "I never knew you. Depart from me." That is the evidence that we can make our calling and election sure. The evidence that we have been chosen by God, and we put our energy into adding to our faith. Because I've been forgiven. Because God is holy. And I'm not. And He's taken away all of my sins so I can have a relationship with Him. And I respond by joyously and enthusiastically and willingly adding to my faith. All of these things, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. I add these things to my faith, and when I do that, I'm seeing the evidence that I'm truly saved and born again. For if you do these things, we have the great promise, when you are sure of your faith, says you'll never stumble. You will never stumble. Now, that verse causes a lot of discussion. Doesn't it? You'll never stumble. Wait a second. Can it really mean what I think it means? A lot of folks are confused, thinking, well, if I add all these both things to my faith, is this saying that I will never sin? Well, it doesn't take very many days of life experience to come to the conclusion that that's not the case, because I still sin. The word stumble there refers to being ruined or lost regarding salvation. When you are diligent and striving to add these things to your faith, you will never have to worry about Jesus saying to you, "I never knew you, depart from me." You will never be lost, because we know this because of the context is connected there in verse 11. We're talking about what does Jesus say when you stand before Him. The context in verse 11, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We're talking about when we stand before the Lord, what's He going to say? Are we going to be lost and ruined? Or will He give us an abundant entrance? And because of verse 11, He's talking about, we don't have to worry about Him saying, "Depart from me." Wouldn't that be wonderful? I don't have to ask myself throughout my life, I wonder what Jesus is going to say. Is He going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? Or is He going to welcome me into the abundance of His kingdom? Peter is saying, when you are adding these things to your faith, it confirms the reality of your call, your election, that you are genuinely saved, and you will never be lost. You will never be lost. You'll never be ruined. Not only that, but it says that we will have a rich entrance into heaven, an abundant entrance, far from being uncertain about our faith and knowing where we're going, far from being uncertain what Jesus would say to us, either, "I never knew you, depart from me," or, "Welcome in." It says we will have an abundant entrance supplied to us into the everlasting kingdom by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, that He will welcome us in. Kind of interesting. It has the idea of a marathon runner crossing the finish line with crowds cheering in jubilation and celebration that the marathon runner has crossed the finish line. Jesus Himself will give us that kind of entrance into heaven. He says in Matthew 25, "Then the King will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" It is an abundant entrance. It is a joyful entrance. And so we need not be afraid. We need not wonder, what is Jesus going to say to me? I can make my calling and election certain. But I know He will give me this abundant entrance into heaven. Why? Because I am all the more diligent to add these things to my faith. I will be growing in these things, verse 8, "For if these things are yours and abounding, I'm not going to lack these things." And these things, adding to my faith in response to the fact that my sins are forgiven, is the evidence. So when the unbeliever says, "How do you know? I mean, do you really know you're going to heaven? Come on. Isn't it just a roll of the dice insurance policy at the end?" Sometimes they say that. Isn't the Christian life just an insurance policy for after death? You say, no, it's not. We can know for sure that we've been saved. And Peter finishes this section up, "When you are sure, remember." Remember. Notice verses 12 through 15. He writes, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right. As long as I am in this tent, as long as I'm in this body, as long as I'm alive, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing shortly that I must put off this tent." He knows he's going to die, just as the Lord Jesus told him. "Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease, after He has passed away." And one of the reasons I love Peter is that he is so connected with our humanness. Because he was a very human guy. Of course, the others were too. But he was very aware of his own humanness. And he is very aware of our own humanness as well. And he knows that we are very forgetful, aren't we? We are a very, very forgetful people. Found a great quote by Samuel Johnson, who maintained this lifelong truth: "We need more often to be reminded than to be informed." And as I increase in my age, I'm learning that this is really true. I need to be reminded more than informed. We know a lot of things, but we need to be reminded of them. Why do you suppose? I'm asking. Why do we need to be reminded? Our minds become so full because we forget. We forget. And, as irritated as we used to be with our little children when they were small, and we'd say, "Why did you do that when I told you not to do that?" "I forgot." And we're like, "Yeah!" But then as we get older, we begin to realize that's not such a bad excuse, actually. That one works. That one still works. We forget. And we forget. And we forget. And Peter says, "I know you forget." And what I know you forget is the truth of verse 9, that we have been cleansed from our sin. We live this Christian life for so many years, many of us, and we forget on a day-to-day basis the one eternal truth: I stand before God this day forgiven. And because I'm forgiven of my sins by a holy God who absolutely has every right to judge me and condemn me to hell, He hasn't, because He's forgiven me. Therefore, this day, I will respond in faith. And I will add to my faith self-control. I will live a day of self-control. I'm going to persevere in my faith today. I'm going to love the brethren, my sisters in Christ today. I'm going to grow in my knowledge today because I'm forgiven of my sins. And Peter says, "I'm going to remind you of those things." I'm going to remind you in verse 12. I'm going to refresh your memory in verse 13 so that you would remember these things in verse 15. Because we forget. We forget. I stand this day cleansed of my sins because God loves me. How am I going to live my life this day knowing and remembering that I am cleansed from my sins because God loves me? He says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to remind you as long as I'm going to be alive. I'm going to stir you up and refresh your memory to remember you're forgiven of your sins because God loves you. And as long as I'm alive, and I'm not going to be alive very long, I'm still going to refresh your memory of these things. In fact, even when I'm dead, you're going to have these things as a reminder because he writes this letter. And this letter was sent out to all the churches. And this letter was recognized by the church fathers to be the inspired Word of God, that they would put it in the Holy Bible, that we would have it in 2012, that we would be reminded today that we are cleansed from our old sins because God loves us. And because I am cleansed this day, because God loves me, I will respond to that truth. Not by doing nothing in my faith today, but adding to my faith these things. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness and love. I'm going to focus on adding those things to my faith today. And when I do that, that's the evidence that I'm making my calling and election certain. That I know that I'm going to have an abundant entrance into heaven, that I'm not going to hear, I never knew you. Depart from me. What a terrifying thing anybody could ever hear the moment their heart stops beating. So on a personal application, are you sure? Are you certain of your salvation today? And you sit here and say, I know because I have in front of my face, my sins are forgiven because God loves me. And I am responding to that interaction by adding to my faith. When we do nothing in our Christian life, we become uncertain whether we're truly saved or not. If you answered, yes, I am certain, what evidence do you have? What's the evidence? Prove it. Prove it. How would you prove it? Because I'm adding these things to my faith. I'm forgiven of my sins because Jesus died for me and I believe it. And in response to this great love that He has poured out on me, I am adding these things to my faith. I'm growing in my faith and that's the evidence. Are you a stronger Christian today than you were last year? Stronger Christian today than you were last month? Or last week? What He's talking about. Growing in your faith. Growing in your faith, then you can know for sure. Are you diligently adding these things to your faith? Or are you doing nothing? Boy, LaRue got to me last week. He's doing nothing. And that's not good. We need to be responding to God's grace by adding these things to our faith. Is the trajectory of your faith increasing? That's really what Peter's getting at. That's the evidence. That's how you know. That's how you can make your calling and election sure. When it is growing, then you can know for sure that you're saved. And if it's not growing, if you're not adding these things to your faith at this time, if you're doing nothing, let me exhort you to stop doing nothing, to do something, to add to your faith on a daily basis, virtue, and knowledge, and self-control, and perseverance, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love, remembering daily, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven by a holy God who loves me and gave Himself for me. And I respond to that love by adding these things to my faith so I can know that I know that I know that I'm truly saved. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank You so much for this good day. Thank You for Your Word. And we pray that as Peter, in a joyous way, lets us know that we can be certain of our eternal salvation. We thank You for that. message, for that truth. And our Father, we do have to admit there are some times we do nothing. Whether we decide, you know, I just want to take a break from this faith thing for a while, or I just want to go my own way for a while, I just want to disconnect for a while. We all do that. I thank You that You love us enough to call us back to Yourself. And like the prodigal son, You welcome us back. You forgive us of our sins again. You set us upon the rock. And You ask us to follow You instead of our own way. And so, our Father, we come before You just thanking You for the forgiveness that You have. And we would ask that You would help us to remember day by day when we get up in the morning, I stand here today forgiven of my sins. Because of the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, and in the joy of that transaction, I respond by adding to my faith these things. And when I do that, that is the evidence that I truly have everlasting life, and that I will not hear on my judgment day when the end of the world happens for me. I don't know who you are. Depart from me. Rather, when we add to our faith these things, because our sins are forgiven, we know for sure. Like that marathon runner crossing the finish line to the shouts of jubilation of a huge crowd. Well done, good and faithful servant. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. We thank You for the assurance. Help us, we pray, to respond in faith by adding to our faith each day. In Jesus' name, amen.